This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يروي الإمام ابن حبان في صحيحه بسند حسن عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. This is the final hadith within the theme or the series of hadith about humbleness, and I have narrated seven today. Tonight's the eighth. It's way more than that, but that's what I'm going to end with. And then tomorrow we'll start our pre-Hajj hadith. I know it's not that early. Starting tomorrow, I'll only get through eight hadith by the end of time. We're coming close to that season. And as usual, inshallah, the weekend or so, or maybe before, even two before Hajj, we'll run sessions that are they'll talk about the journey of Hajj and the beauty of it, and you know, make sure everyone understands why this pillar is so important in our deen, and hopefully encourage people to do it at some point in their lives, inshallah ta'ala. In the midst of all of this, though, yani, whatever we talk about here, and we're supposed to talk about different Islamic aspects, obviously, in the masjid, and you know, cover different ethics and values and principles, and yeah, it's what masajid are for, and what these halaqat or these khawatir are designed to do. It's very hard these days to actually talk about anything aside from what we're seeing happening in the Holy Land, in Palestine and Rafah. And probably this is, in my opinion, the worst imagery that we have seen since the beginning of this whole conflict in the last 8.5 months. I don't think I've ever seen anything so brutal, so savage, and just lacking of any form of humanity within it. It's just mind-boggling the way this is playing out. And subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easier for them. Rabbana yifarrij hammahum, yikshif karbahum, yahzim aduwahum, Allahumma ameen. We have a moral. At this point, I can't talk about this from an Islamic perspective anymore. Like, I have to stop using that terminology. This is a moral obligation. Now, this is beyond yani, nation and ummah and group, and it's a moral obligation. If you have any degree of compassion or justice or humanity in you, you can't watch this. Like, there have been probably worse atrocities that occurred across history in the past. I'm sure there were, right? But nothing has been documented in real time like this. Like, not like this. Not where you watch children being pulled out of the rubble, yani, in pieces. This is not something that we, like, you would hear about the stories afterwards, but this is happening in real time. Like, there are people standing there with phones showing you what's actually occurring, showing not you, showing the world what's actually occurring, and it's ongoing. And it's an ongoing thing, and you know, the language that is used to combat it, or to fight it, or to push back at it, is language that is disrespectful. It's shameful. It's pathetic. It's weak. It lacks any form of objectivity. And the reason that that's the case is because, look, يعني الحق لما وراء طالب ما بيرجع. Any righteousness, any cause that does not have people who are willing to defend it and speak out for it will be lost. Will be forgotten. And this is a haqq that the people who should be speaking about it stopped speaking about it at some point for a long period of time, which made the aggressors, the transgressors, the oppressors feel comfortable enough to do something like this. They felt comfortable enough. They felt that there would be no consequences if they did this. They felt that they could get away with just burying tens of thousands of human beings under the rubble of their own homes, and no consequences, no repercussions would occur. And I'm scared that they're going to be right. My fear, what you know, makes me sick to my stomach, is that they may be right. They may actually be able to get away with something like this and very little repercussions. Unless somehow this group of people, this nation, finds its voice again and finds its place in the world and is willing to, you know, risk maybe some of their comfort and some of their leisure to speak the truth and to defend the truth and to stand by the truth. And the truth at this point is really simple. These are people who have no one who is willing to protect them or stand by them. They're civilians who are in tents and refugee camps that are just being destroyed and being killed meaninglessly, brutally, and heartlessly. And the world somehow lacks the ability to speak out against it. And that's something that I want you to understand, that if you attend anything in this masjid and you hear me talking, you know, explaining aqidah or talking about fiqh or explaining some mas'ala here and there, this is not disrespect towards what's happening overseas. That's all that we think about, and that's all that lives inside of us at all times, by the way. Like, but you can't for the mental well-being of a community, the spiritual well-being of a community. You can't talk about just one thing all day long. It'll just weigh too heavy on people. So you have to share any things he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and to talk about other things that allow the spirit to elevate a little bit. But in our hearts, we continue to, we don't never lose sight of what the goal is. And you listen, you learn the deen, you never lose sight of the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu and his legacy, what he left behind. You never lose sight of that. And I hope that's just something for you to think about. I'll narrate this final hadith. It's very short. It's my favorite when it talks about humbleness, because I never narrate it because I get very emotional when I do, even though it's very simple. It's just a few words he said, but it's just, I don't know why. I just find that these words are so genuine and so meaningful that I would never be able to say them myself. So I usually stay away from this hadith, but I'll try and get through it quickly. This is what he said, alayhi salatu. Qala, innama ana abd. Akulu kama ya'kulu al-abd. Wa ajlisu kama yajlisu al-abd. I am nothing but a servant. Innama is exclusivity. I am nothing but a servant. I sit like a servant and I eat like a servant, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said this when some people were pointing out that, what type of prophet is this? What king is this? What leader is this? What Rasul? What he said, I am nothing but a servant. That's all I am, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the one who carries the alhamd yawm al-qiyamah. Sahib al-maqam al-mahmud alayhi salatu wa sallam. Alladhi yasjudu tahta arshi rabbihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi al-shafi'u al-mushaffa. Alladhi yabda'u al-hisaba rabbuhu subhanahu wa ta'ala wifqa kalimatihi alayhi salatu wa sallam. His status is something that is not understood or unexplained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his people, to his creation. We know who this person is, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for him, and the status that he carries yawm al-qiyamah. And this is what he says about himself. I am nothing but a servant. I sit like a servant, and I eat like a servant. And he did. And he lived his life like that, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he refused for anything else to occur. And you could not make him do it differently. And if a slave asked him to come, he would sit, and he would sit like this, and he would have his tamar, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would exchange a conversation, and he didn't feel that was, and he never, alayhi salatu wasalam, sat, he never had banquets like we do, and he never put himself in a position where he refused, alayhi salatu wasalam, to be seen that way, even though he's the only living person who deserved to be seen that way, and if we saw him that way, would be nothing wrong with it. There would be nothing wrong, it would be appropriate for his status. It would be appropriate for the status that Allah gave him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and yet he refused. So how is it that someone who is not given that status, allowing themselves to be in a different position? How is someone who does not have anything that's even remotely close to that status, allow themselves to see themselves in any other light aside from the light that he saw himself through, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then see him for who he actually is, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And I find that to be the nicest explanation or the nicest description of how he lived his life and how he carried himself, alayhi salam. يروي الإمام ابن حبان في صحيحه بسند حسن عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما أنا عبد آكل كما يأكل العبد وأجلس كما يجلس العبد. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سمعت محمد شنو لا إله إلا أنت استغفر وتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.